Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is the most entertaining hour of your day. You are now listening to WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live right here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. I am the man behind the mic, the captain of this ship, Al Martin, and happy Tuesday, August 14th, to you all. All right, got a lot to talk about in today's Current Sports. For those that tuned into the Monday edition, you know, we tackled a lot. I wrote an audible love letter to my man, 1,000 grand, Tiger Woods, for his incredible four rounds at the PGA Championship, finishing second to Brooks Koepka out in St. Louis. We also talked about the first preseason game for the Detroit Lions, which occurred on a Friday night out on the West Coast, as the Lions fell by 6 to John Gruden's Oakland Raiders. And at the end of the show, I kind of introduced the whole DJ Durkin and University of Maryland story that has really everybody in the sporting world talking. Unfortunately, a death did occur at the University of Maryland. Jordan McNair, now former college football player for Maryland, at the age of just 19 years old, sadly passed away just 2 weeks after participating in a workout at Maryland's outdoor practice fields. It has led to head football coach DJ Durkin being put on administrative leave, as well as members of the athletic staff on administrative leave. And I really believe that this story is one that opens up a broader conversation that needs to be had in the world of sports, especially the world of football. All right? So we'll talk about that story. I got a few points to make there. Also, Michigan State football practice. Yeah, the days are just winding down. Can you believe it, folks? I mean, we're really just like 2 weeks away from the start of college football. Just, a little over 2 weeks away until the very first game for the Michigan State football team, as Michigan State will play Utah State under the lights on August 31st. I want to let you guys know also, this is a great time to pub this. We will be having our second Current Sports on the Road series for that day, as Current Sports will be having kind of like a tailgate special from 5 to 6 p.m. on August 31st, as we will be talking all things Michigan State and Utah State. We'll have a great lineup of guests. We'll be parked right outside of the Communication Arts and Sciences building, as many tailgaters will be getting ready for kickoff between the Spartans and Utah State. But this morning, Mark D'Antonio spoke around 10 a.m. prior to the start of Michigan State football practice. You get to hear what Coach D had to say, and he'll bring up a few names that he has really been paying attention to throughout preseason training camp, a few names that could possibly make a lot of noise this upcoming Spartan football season. And on the back end of the show, we'll talk about the quarterback race for Jim Harbaugh and his University of Michigan football team. Now, you would think, after all this conversation about the transfer, the Messiah, Shea Patterson coming from Ole Miss, transferring in, becoming immediately eligible to play, you would think Shea's the guy, right? Well, I really think that this is just a formality. Shea Patterson's going to be the guy when U of M suits up against Notre Dame in game one. But Jim Harbaugh wants to keep things open, all right? There is a quarterback race. A quarterback race in Ann Arbor. Are you buying it? We'll discuss that and so much more. If you would like to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream there. And you can tweet us. Two ways to do so. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. Some news when it comes to the year 2029 and 2030. Oh, boy. I may be going to that these series, these games, and maybe like a wheelchair. I don't know. That's a long time from now, right? 2029, 2030. Michigan State and Oregon, though, are going to meet again on the football field. A far-off series that was announced yesterday afternoon. The Spartans will host the Ducks on September 8th. 2029 in East Lansing, and then they will make a return trip on September 7th, 2030 at Autzen Stadium in Eugene, Oregon. So Michigan State and Oregon getting it on the football field for the year 2029 and 2030. The two schools have agreed in principle to the series, according to a release. They played a home-and-home series in 2014 and 2015. Oregon won its home game 46-27 in 2014 on its way to a Pac-12 championship, and Michigan State captured its home game 31-28 in 2015 en route to a Big Ten title and the college football playoff semifinals. The all-time series is 3-3, so mark that on your future calendars. Michigan State, Oregon, 2029 and 2030. All right, the quarterback race is getting more tight the closer we get to the college football season out in Ann Arbor. Shea Patterson, the decorated former quarterback at the University of Mississippi, joined the team in early January to much fanfare. Now, with him comes a pizzazz and an excitement that really hasn't been felt out in Ann Arbor when it comes to the quarterback position in quite some time. Perhaps more importantly, the junior is armed with more experience than any other QB on the Michigan roster. Not only has he played in more games, but he's played in big games. And not only has he played in those games, but he's shown the potential to put up some big numbers, all right? Brandon Peters is also in the mix, especially after the way he ushered into the starting role in 2017 with no help in terms of a higher role model, having John O'Korn as the QB ahead of him. Now, in six games, four starts, Peters threw for 672 yards, four touchdowns. He has the arm and ability to flourish in a fast and open offense. Unfortunately for him, that wasn't the case last year. He completed just 52.8% of his passes, a product of an organized, unorganized offensive line and inexperienced receiver group. Another name to remember in the neck-and-neck QB race is redshirt freshie Dylan McCaffrey. But let's be real here. We all know that Shea Patterson is going to be the guy behind center. We'll elaborate more on the quarterback race later on this hour. Don't miss that. And speaking of Jim Harbaugh and his U of M college football program, in wake of what happened with the University of North Carolina's football team with selling school-issued sneakers, other schools have caught notice. The University of Michigan is still investigating whether any current student-athletes sold team-issued shoes. But football coach Jim Harbaugh told reporters on Monday he does not anticipate any discipline for his team. The investigation stretches beyond football, but Harbaugh said the football program did an inventory check of all team-issued shoes given to current football players and found no issues. Now, Michigan's football program marks each pair of team-issued shoes at the time they are given to players. The student-athletes do not get the box the shoes came in, and they are required to sign a letter acknowledging they know that selling a pair of team-issued sneakers is an NCAA violation. Now, just like the University of North Carolina, the University of Michigan, as many of you know, is also sponsored by Team Jordan. All right, former Ohio State wide receivers coach Zach Smith. Yeah, new news here. He was arrested in 2013 for operating a vehicle while intoxicated, a charge that was later reduced, according to multiple reports. He did not inform Ohio State coach Urban Meyer of the arrest, instead choosing to handle it, quote, on my own, without involving OSU. Smith told ESPN through his attorney yesterday afternoon. Brett McMurphy, who broke this whole story when it comes to Zach Smith and his alleged history of domestic violence in relation to his wife. Brett McMurphy tweeted this yesterday around 2:49 p.m., quote, judge that reduced Zach Smith's 2013 drunken driving charges is a 1968 Ohio State graduate and member of the Ohio State University President's Club. How is that for optics? More thoughts on that later on this hour as well. In the second of a three-game exhibition match schedule to kick off MSU's men's soccer team season, MSU faced Western Michigan University yesterday. Now, Michigan State won its first match against Spring Arbor to give them a preseason record of 1-0. They ended up tying against WMU 1-1. Brendan Skinner took a pass from Giuseppe Vitale and flicked it past MSU senior goalkeeper Jimmy Haig in the 37th minute to take the 1-0 lead. In another physical battle with the Broncos, the Spartans tied the score in the 72nd minute. Senior forward DeJuan Jones, product of East Lansing, scored the equalizer off the pass from freshie forward Ferrari Mutatu. The blast came off of Michael's hands and into the mouth of the goal to tie the score at 1-1. Michigan State will conclude exhibition action on Friday, August 17th, against Xavier in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the Shindigs National Soccer Festival at 6 p.m. All right, and good news for Detroit Lions fans attending games at Ford Field. The cost of concessions won't hit your wallet as hard as it did in previous seasons. Now, the team unveiled new prices for food and drink today. All over Ford Field, now, beer will be just $5. Wow, that's pretty cool. I'm not even going to front. Beer, $5. A hot dog and soda combo, $10. And a hot dog beer combo, now $12. I mean, anytime you go to a game, you know that you are going to spend a pretty penny if you decide to visit the concession stand. This is a game changer, Lions fans. All right, all I ask is that, you know, just again, be responsible. All right, just because beer is $5, don't get blasted. All right. And at select locations in the stadium and for the first 60 minutes after the doors open, you can get a pop for $2, a hot dog for $2, a beer or cocktail for $3, and a specialty drink for $5. Oh, this is truly a game changer. Ford Field, you may want to beef up your security. That's all I'm going to say. All right. The Detroit Tigers and the Chicago White Sox on the diamond. If you missed last night's game, then you missed a career performance from Nicholas Castellanos as he recorded 5 hits and 5 RBIs, including a game-winning homer that sent the Tigers home with a dub. The Tigers beat the Chi Sox 9-5. Castellanos' 5-hit night was the first of his career, the 5 RBI night, the 6th in his career. He came to the plate to a standing ovation with the bases loaded in the bottom of the 8th inning, a triple shy of hitting for the cycle. Jahmyr Candelario, Victor Reyes, and Victor Martinez all got RBIs as well in the victory. The Tigers are now 50-69 as they near the final quarter of the season. And last but not least, Houston Rockets guard of the NBA, James Harden, allegedly was involved in a nightclub incident that is under investigation by the Scottsdale, Arizona Police Department. Now, a TMZ report said a member of Harden's entourage got into a fight at the club. When a woman started to record the scuffle, Harden grabbed her wrist and threw her phone onto a nearby roof. The woman, who was treated for a wrist injury at a local hospital, said one of Harden's associates allegedly offered her $200 for the phone, and that Harden later gave her $300 to pay for a replacement. Police confirmed Monday that they are looking into the allegations, but told the Arizona Republic that it was, quote, far too early in the investigation, end quote, to know Harden's role in the incident. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can join the party here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Call 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, and we'll patch you through and you can talk to me live here on our airwaves. You can also check out the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet us. Two ways to do so: tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me at Al Martin WKAR.
Scrutiny of college football yesterday with that Maryland story, and you know, you're known as a really hard-nosed, tough-minded coach. Where do you draw that line, you and your staff, to where you make sure you don't step across that line into a situation similar to what's being alleged at Maryland?
Well, I think the big thing is criticism. You need to criticize the performance, not the performer. And I think that's something we talk about as a staff a lot. And there's a certain way you can talk to a young man and about how he's playing and what he needs to do to improve. You know what? I know DJ Durkin. He worked for me for 4 years at the University of Florida. He is an outstanding football coach. But he's also an outstanding husband and a father, and he treats people with respect. And I will use your word, alleged article. There's no credibility in anonymous sources. You know, if that former staffer had any guts, why didn't he put his name on that? I think that's gutless. And in any business, and in any company, and in any football team, especially right here in August, you can find a disgruntled player that's probably not playing. So I think it's a lack of journalistic integrity to print things with anonymous sources. But I know DJ Durkin personally, and I know what kind of man he is. I know what kind of person he is. I talked to him this morning. And I don't think it's right. So, next question.
One of the most iconic voices that we have here in America, Aretha Franklin. What you're hearing in the background is Bridge Over Troubled Water, one of my favorite Aretha Franklin tracks. A living legend. a living legend. So before I keep it pushing here, as many of you know by now, news broke yesterday that Aretha Franklin is in hospice care, in grave condition right now, at her home in Detroit. And, you know, it's always jarring anytime, you know, you hear news like that about one of our nation's treasures in Aretha Franklin, who resides, again, right here in the Detroit area, the Metro Detroit area. She is from Memphis, Tennessee. A legend. Just, you know, and to watch the outpouring of support and words of thoughts and prayers from many different celebrities and other voices of influence here in our nation just goes to show just how much of a jewel she truly is. So, Aretha, we're thinking about you. We're thinking about you here on this Tuesday, August 14th, 2018. I really hope you all are having a great start to your work week. And thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of it. You also heard the voice of Will Muschamp. Yeah, Will Muschamp, who is the head football coach at South Carolina, who rushed to defend his colleague in DJ Durkin, head coach of the University of Maryland college football team, who is currently on paid administrative leave. And I think that Will Muschamp's comments attacking journalism, attacking anonymous sources, are plain ignorant, to be honest with you. Just completely ignorant. You know, he spoke from a standpoint of anger and emotion, trying to defend a good friend of his, somebody who is very close to him in DJ Durkin. But saying that anonymous sources, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, Will Muschamp discrediting anonymous sources just crosses the line, and it shows how ignorant you are to the profession of journalism. Point blank, period. I mean, you ever heard of Watergate? You ever heard of the book All the President's Men? Anonymous sources have helped shine a lot of light into some very dark corners here in our nation and, frankly, around the world. So when you say that anonymous sources have not been beneficial to reporting and to opening up and cracking cases, you're very misinformed. You are very misinformed, Will Muschamp. So, for those that don't know about this story, if you've been living under a rock, the University of Maryland has placed head football coach DJ Durkin and members of his athletic staff on administrative leave during an investigation of the death by heat stroke of a football player. That football player is Jordan McNair, who was just 19 years old. Just 19 years old, died June 13th, 2 weeks after participating in a workout at Maryland's outdoor practice fields. Now, the university commissioned an external review, and again, pending the final outcome, has placed some of the staff on leave, including head coach Durkin. Now, this is what Jessica L. Jennings said. Jessica L. Jennings is the director of communications who released a statement on behalf of this whole situation. Quote, "We will be able to speak in greater detail when the review is complete and shared with the public. Our thoughts remain with Jordan McNair's family, friends, and teammates. So Durkin's status was announced Saturday by Maryland Director of Athletics Damon Evans. Maryland Offensive Coordinator Matt Canada will now act as the interim head coach. Also, Evans, in a statement, said this. I think this is also important to note here. Damon Evans, again, Maryland Director of Athletics, said this, quote, "I am extremely concerned by the allegations of unacceptable behaviors by our members of our football staff detailed in recent media reports. We are committed to fully investigating the program. The safety and well-being of our student athletes is our highest priority. These alleged behaviors are not consistent with the values I expect all of our staff to adhere to, and we must do better." Jordan was a tremendous athlete, student, teammate, and friend, and he will be sorely missed. I'm sure many of you have taken the story in and have many thoughts upon hearing of the passing of Jordan McNair and now DJ Durkin being placed on administrative leave. And this is such an interesting time that we're living in when discussing college football because, you know, you have the Maryland scandal right now happening. You know, last week we focused on the Ohio State scandal. Again, an update today on that, as it was now reported that Zach Smith was arrested back in 2013. You know, you got that going on. You have what happened here at Michigan State University last year. You know, Penn State, I mean, and all Big Ten schools, I might add, too. I don't know if that's just a coincidence or what. But University of North Carolina and the selling of sneakers. So there you go. You don't have a Big Ten school there. The selling of Jordan sneakers. I mean, it seems like every week there's a negative headline coming out of college football. Now, as it pertains to what is happening out in Maryland, you know, I have long felt like in football, especially when I sit back and watch, you know, shows like Hard Knocks and I watch shows like right now, which I just absolutely flew through the third season of Last Chance U. I don't know how many of you are a fan of Last Chance U on Netflix. It is awesome. I finished the latest season of that, season three of that, over the weekend. And You got Coach Buddy Stevens profiled in seasons one and two there at East Mississippi State Community College. And then you have James Brown, JB, Coach JB. Is it either James or Jeff? He's a new coach from Compton, California. He's profiled as head coach of a community college out in Kansas for season three. But you know, I watch shows like that and I played a little football when I was growing up on the west side of Detroit. And I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you all here on Current Sports. I remember I was playing PAL League for the West Side Cardinals. Happened to be about 8 years old or so. And, you know, we used to practice on the field of Cody High School, Cody High School's football field. And this was what really led to me falling in love with a game of basketball and changing the sport I wanted to go into. There was one coach who, you know, this is like my first day at practice. You know, my dad drops me off. I'm at football practice. And there was one coach who just took it just extremely way too serious. I mean, you're coaching, you know, eight-year-old kids. And he's out there like he's Vince Lombardi or something. But I remember this is my first day of practice. I don't know anything about, you know, he wanted to put me on the line. I don't know anything about playing on the line. I don't know the X's and O's of football. It's just my first day. I made the team, made the cut at tryouts. And I'm out there, got my equipment on and everything, and I didn't line up right. And we'll never forget, this coach like grabbed my face mask, yelled at me, and then like threw my helmet, you know, toward the grass, and I fell over. And just, and by the way, to speed this story up just a little bit, that coach eventually got fired from that program as you can imagine, right? But I remember I went home that day, and I was so embarrassed that I told my dad, "That's it, I'm done. I'm not going back to practice. I'm not showing up. That's it." You know, and I was like 8 years old. A different mentality. You're a kid. I mean, now I don't quit anything, but that was the first time, probably only time, I've quit something in my life. And I gravitated towards basketball and had awesome coaches in the world of basketball. But, you know, in football culture, there is this culture of being macho all the time, high testosterone. And again, look, for those that do this for a living and get paid to do it, you know, even at the college level, even though they should be getting paid. I mean, you're out there and you are trained and conditioned to make your living going out there and inflicting pain on other human bodies. That is what your job is. That is your job description. To go out there, make contact, and inflict pain in order to win the game. You got to be a little bit crazy to do that, right? And, you know, when watching these documentaries and getting an inside look into various programs out there, heck, even at, you know, at the high school football level, there is this conversation that has been had for a long time. How far is too far? How far is too far when trying to push and motivate a player? I think now we're starting to get to wisen up here, and I can't believe that we're finally wising up when it comes to this. But, you know, I know many high school football coaches out there who used to go and have two-a-days and not have many water breaks. And you're out there in scorching heat, 90-degree heat with humidity on top of that, and you're holding two-a-days. And it used to be looked at, if you had to take a water break, it used to be looked at as, oh, man, you're a wimp. You need water? Why don't you man up and get through this practice and show me some moxie? I think that perception is so ignorant and so stupid, and I'm glad, you know, and unfortunately it's taken deaths on the gridiron for coaches to start to change. And I'm not throwing every coach in this barrel, all right? There are some fantastic. I think that most coaches out there are responsible. But there are many that are totally irresponsible and have that old school mentality that, oh, yeah, if you don't muscle through this and you don't, you need a water break. I do think there's a lot of that old school mentality that still exists in many high school football fields, on many college football fields, heck, many pro football fields, all right? And as a coach, you have to know how far is too far. You have to know that, okay, yeah, I'm trying to get the best out of my players. And the way you do that is, yeah, pushing them to a certain point to get them to understand that they can overcome whatever hurdle is in their way. But you also have to be educated to the point of knowing your players. Knowing how far is too far. No player, no athlete should die on the football field due to a heat stroke. I mean, come on now. You know, when Jordan McNair was hospitalized for showing signs of a heat stroke and exhaustion while participating in a team workout, you know, it was reported that McNair had difficulty finishing a set of 110-yard sprints and had a body temperature of 106 degrees at the hospital. Sources later told ESPN.com that McNair did not finish the runs on his own strength and was eventually walked around the practice field before being taken to treatment. I mean, come on now. Where does common sense come into effect? You see your player having difficulty running. It's found that he has a body temperature of 106 degrees. Couldn't finish the runs under his own strength. I'm assuming he needed teammates to help him out. You're still pushing this young man? It's ignorance. And the fact that it led to the death of McNair. DJ Durkin needs to be fired. Were there other coaches there that, you know, that could have stopped it? Sure. And they should be fired. Whoever was there and saw this and did nothing, if you are in a position of leadership and did nothing here, you deserve to no longer hold employment at the University of Maryland. Point blank, period. And when it comes to DJ Durkin, hey, you are the head coach. If something like this happens under your watch, who knows? I don't know. Again, as the days go on, we'll figure out the details of this story. Was DJ Durkin there at the time of the workout, you know, or was this run by his assistant coaches? It doesn't matter at the end of the day, because when you are the head coach, you are the face. You are in charge of everything that happens within your program. You need to be fired if a player died on your watch due to something that was clearly preventable. It's an upsetting story. And Will Muschamp, I hear you. That's your guy. He's got your back, right? You know, you guys are buddies. That's your colleague. You guys go back. But common sense is common sense. And this was gross negligence. There's a problem with this macho mentality. I think you're starting to see it also when it comes to fraternities on college campuses as well. Unfortunately, you know, you're starting to see, finally, it's taking deaths for things to change. Unfortunately, things have to get really, really bad before they get any kind of good here in America. But it's taking deaths for universities across the nation to start to look at fraternity life and rushing. That's another mentality, right? That is changing. And you know what? To kind of put in perspective just how regular this is in football culture. Now, again, this is just one account coming from, you know, a player. I don't think this player has been backed up with this story, but I don't think many people know this story. And this is something that we always talk about in the barbershops when discussing Mr. Nick Saban. Nick Saban, who will probably go down, in my opinion, as the greatest college football coach of all time. Nick Saban, back in the day, you know, his time, well, when it comes to his stint in the NFL, can be described as a bit odd. You know, it was different when he left LSU to go to the Miami Dolphins. And it was a bit odd when he left the Dolphins to coach at Alabama. All right. That many people have described that tenure as odd. it's been alleged that Nick Saban, at one time made Dolphins player Manuel Wright cry during training camp. And again, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but this was reported about like 7 years ago. Accusations from a former player in Heath Evans that Saban stepped over an offensive lineman in Geno James when James was on the floor after collapsing at practice. This is what Evans said while on Miami's George Sedano show on 790 The Ticket. This is what Sedano said, quote, give me an example of something he did, meaning Nick Saban, to someone while you were there that made you shake your head like that stuff doesn't work here. Evans says, quote, well, the first day of two-a-days, we had about a three-hour-plus practice in the morning in that South Florida sun. You guys know what it's like down there in late July, early August. And then that night, we had another practice under the lights. If I recall, it was about from 6 to 9. Geno James, our best offensive lineman, at the time, comes in and collapses after practice, vomiting, all kinds of stuff that will make a billy goat puke. Eyes rolled in back of his head. Myself, about four other linemen are trying to carry him from the locker room to the training room. Obviously, it's a moment of panic. Everyone, you know, we don't know if this guy's, you know, going to die. I mean, the whole deal. But he's so big and sweaty and heavy that we actually have to set him down in the hallway between the locker room and the training room. Nick Saban literally just starts walking in, steps over Geno James, convulsing, doesn't say a word, doesn't try to help, goes upstairs. I don't know what he does. But then obviously they get Geno trauma off to the hospital. Saban calls a team meeting about 10:30 that night, comes down and says, quote, you know, the captain of the ship can never show fear or indecision. We've always got to have an answer. And so I had to go upstairs. That's why I walked over Geno like that. I had to collect my thoughts and decide what's best for our team. Interesting. Just let that soak in. Again, we're talking about Nick Saban. Arguably the greatest college football coach of all time, stepping over a player who appears to have a seizure during practice. Again, this is all alleged. Want to say that as well. It's just one man's account of what happened. Not sure. Again, this story was reported, you know, 7 years ago. Not sure if anybody has backed up what Heath Evans is alleging here. But this is just kind of a window and a peek into the macho mentality that unfortunately leads to some pretty bad outcomes. Player health needs to be at the forefront, especially when discussing this sport of football in 2018. Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Do you think there is a problem when it comes to football culture today? Call in, comment below our Facebook page, video at during the Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. When we come back, we'll get the thoughts of current sports PAs Alec Rio as well as Connor Mathis. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just heard my thoughts on what is taking place out at the University of Maryland right now. DJ Durkin and members of his staff on administrative leave right now due to situation involving one of his former players passing away due to a heat stroke. That player was Jordan McNair, who was hospitalized after showing signs of a heat stroke. You heard my thoughts on that story. I do believe that there is a culture that needs to change in the sport of football. And, you know, this macho mentality, you know, where you got to be tough and power through. Sure, I agree with all that stuff because there are certainly benefits. I'm not saying that a player should not be pushed. I'm not saying that a player should not be challenged to get over obstacles and overcome challenges. I'm not saying that you should not push your players to excellence or something close to it. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm just saying that there are clear lines that you don't cross. And there is a way you go about that. You have to know when you're pushing your players too hard. You have to know when you're going overboard, and you have to create a culture within your coaching staff. If you are pushing it too far, they aren't afraid to speak up and put you in check. Transparency is everything. Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I also brought up a story from 2011 in which a former NFL player in Heath Evans talked about and told the story of how allegedly Nick Saban, now the famed head coach that he is with the University of Alabama, allegedly stepped over a player who appeared to be convulsing. during a practice. Connor Mathis and Alec Rio will now join me in this discussion. I'm curious to get both of your thoughts on what I had to say and just you guys taking in this story. And I know, Connor, when I brought up this Nick Saban story, you did some further digging and have a few other allegations when it comes to Nick Saban's history, right? Your thoughts and what are those stories?
Well, first I'll get to these Nick Saban ones. The first one is a linebacker for the Dolphins, and his last name is Iandebeo, I believe is how you pronounce it. But he was expecting to miss practice for the birth of his child, and he went around the Dolphins personnel and told them, I'm going to be out for practice this day. And he said he let Saban know, and Saban said, according to this linebacker, he made it clear to me that he expected me to be around and not miss any practice for this special moment for my family. I made it clear I was going to miss as much time as it took me to be there to support my wife and newborn child. The article that this is from further goes on to say, his wife ended up having to get a C-section and he had to be at her bedside with assistance, and he missed one day of practice. Cut to a couple days later, he finds out he's been traded to the Chicago Bears. So this one that came up recently, and he just didn't have it, called him out. This other incident occurred with a former receiver, kind of a journeyman. The receiver's name PK Sam. Mm-hmm. So he played in the NFL, played in the CFL, and he called out Saban on Twitter in 2016 saying, "Thank you, Nick Saban." And then he tweeted Alabama football, 10 years ago today, you cut me from the Miami Dolphins because I flew home to hug my dad who was dying.
Again, all alleged, but
alleged. But like, yeah. I mean,
and I don't want this to be the bash Nick Saban hour.
No,
but
I do
think these stories are just kind of a window into, a mentality that a lot of coaches have. They want you to be tough. They want you to sacrifice. They want you to and they push these players and create sometimes very unrealistic expectations that lead to unfortunate outcomes. That's the point I want to hammer home here. So with DJ Durkin and the situation going on at the University of Maryland, what do you think should happen and how does something like this happen, Connor?
I don't know, honestly. I think he should be removed. There's no excuse for a guy to be running the 110. If he gets weak at the end of it, maybe then if he's really weak, you send him on maybe like a cool down lap just to kind of get a walk back to the trainer, get your heart rate down, things like that. But I did some further digging, like while you were talking about this, the temperature of that day was 82. It was 82 in Maryland, plus the humidity. We did like a heat index calculator. It was 85 degrees. Mm-hmm. when he was doing all this. So I mean, and the strange thing is, this wouldn't be new information if for someone who coached in that area. Everyone knows that end of May, June through like August in Maryland, Virginia, DC, that is hotter than anything. It's a wet heat. It's terrible. So I even question, like, why were you doing 110 wind sprints in that kind of environment? And it doesn't really say if he had like pads on or anything like that, but like still, there's ways to push players without putting them in a potentially dangerous situation. And there's nothing wrong with in any coach. There's nothing wrong with tough love. I mean,
nothing wrong with that.
No.
Again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that. I mean, I had coaches who were hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
That would push me if they felt like I was slacking or they felt like I could reach another level. I mean, they would yell at me, get in my face. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there are certain lines.
Exactly.
There are clear lines that you don't need, rocket scientists to point out what those lines are. It's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it comes down to common sense, Connor.
And the other thing too is if people have gone through this entire report, this is just the same old repeating information. They had a strength. They had a strength coach that was allegedly throwing weights at people. Like,
yeah, I heard that too.
What does that
yep.
accomplish?
I saw that allegation
gonna,
as well.
Yeah,
throwing at the University of Maryland.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You're gonna injure a player, and then you're gonna look like an idiot when the season rolls around. It's like, oh, why was John Doe out? Oh, because a strength coach pegged him with a 10-pound weight.
God.
Like,
Yeah, I know.
It's stupid. And then what's the player gonna do? Oh, I got bruised up, I'm injured, I can't give my 110%. The coach is gonna get mad at him again. Like,
it's a lose-lose when it comes to some of these players, right?
It doesn't make any sense. And then the other stuff you see about, like, oh, guys, we want a guy to gain weight, so we're gonna make him eat till he pukes. Like, come on.
Makes no sense.
Common sense.
It's a culture. It sounds like we're talking about a fraternity here, doesn't it? Throwing weights and, you know, make a player eat till he pukes. It's like fraternity stuff. But I really hope that, you know, other coaches are looking at what's taking place out at the University of Maryland, are looking at, you know, how the story is unfolding at the Ohio State University and are taking notes, because this stuff can't fly, man. And there really needs to be some changes on some changes made on how we handle alleged domestic abuse and violence, and also how we value the health of our student athletes. We got less than 10 minutes left here. Connor, I want to throw to a soundbite coming from this morning's preseason training camp, from the camp of Michigan State football. Mark D'Antonio talked to us media members prior to this morning's practice, and here is what he had to say.
Get things done. So we're in the dog days of summer camp right now. So, but it's been good camps thus far, and we just keep trying to work and trying to work situations every single day that you would see in a game, and install and work the situations, and that's what we do, you know, day in and day out, special teams, offense, and defense. So I'll take some questions.
Mark, would you talk about Weston Bridges, please?
Yeah, Weston, I think, is his back. He's not worried about his injury anymore. I think he's getting back into it. But, he's had some flashes. It looks like Jeremy Langford a little bit at times. You know, he's got that breakaway speed, and, he's elusive. And, he continues to learn, though, because he really is like a freshman, because he missed all of his freshman year. So, you know, pass protection, things of that nature, he's working.
Some of the positives and negatives coming out of the Friday scrimmage?
Positives coming out of it, 100-plus plays easily, plus 100 plays. So we played a lot and got a lot of guys working, you know, and got a chance to get our younger players on film a lot. So I thought that was important to see where they were at and see where they stood up. Obviously, usually defense seems to be ahead of the offense a little bit in these situations, but, there were some good things offensively, too. But I don't really want to get too deep into the scrimmage.
Was it more plays than usual because of the veteran team?
No, it was probably more plays than usual because we wanted to see our young players, our redshirt freshmen and our true freshmen play as much, too. So we worked three groups.
What about the corners, Mark? And did any of those guys, with Josiah being out, did anyone kind of stand out a little bit or separate
Trey Pearson's having a good year, you know, good summer camp. Josh Butler's been very solid. I think that Shakur Brown is a guy that has made plays as well. So those three guys really are sort of picking up the slack there. And then Kalen Gervin. Kalen looks good as well. So.
What about the linebacker spot, the Sam linebacker? Do you kind of have an idea there, or do you have some juggling maybe that you need to do in the other spot?
That's just going to work itself out. We've got guys we can play. You know, we can go three or four deep at that position. So it's been a positive.
Now that John is back and pads are on, are you seeing the same old John?
Well, he's been out of football for a year or so, right. But I think he's healthy and he's coming. You know, he can play any of those three positions. So he's sort of worked a little bit at all of them.
How about the kickoffs specifically?
Both those guys, you know, continue to work. You know, Cole Hahn, I think, is improved. Tyler Hunt's a guy that walked on here, very good athlete. So, Coughlin can do it. You know, with the new rules as they are, you know, he can reach that area too. But that remains to be seen. You know, got to kick under pressure. Mm-hmm. So we try and put the pressure on and see where they're at.
Last week you said it was really up to Tyler and Matt Allen at the center. Mark Staten said he really wouldn't be able to tell until the scrimmage. I guess what you see out of the scrimmage is from those two guys.
You know, right now Tyler's number one center, I think, but Matt's going to play. He's a young player, and he continues to improve, but he's very capable. So we'll see how it all shakes out. That's probably a situation as we go forward, you know, two or three scrimmages in.
How about the opposite defensive end from Kennan? Camper Flash or who?
Camper had a good scrimmage. Yeah.
Is it him ahead of Alexander right now or?
Jacob Panasu.
Yeah.
Mark, who's been your biggest surprise? Maybe a guy that you're like, wow, I wasn't expecting that out of him in a positive way.
I think Tyreek Thompson's had a good camp thus far. But, you know, campus, you know, 2 days, you know, you go 2 days. 2 days ago was like a week ago in camp. So, you know, it's really what do you do every single day on a daily basis. But, you know, I thought Brandon Randall had a very good scrimmage as well. But I just look for guys that, you know, we've got a good foundation of guys that we know are going to play very well. Joe Bocci's been tremendous, you know. Some guys played very well, but then you look at guys that are new guys. So I'm trying to find, you know, who's had a good practice, who are newer players that are going to add to the mix.
What about from the return game? I mean, you mentioned about the kickoff rules for the other side. How does that change for you guys? And is Connor still there?
You know, that's will be an interesting thing to watch throughout the season, how other people do it and what we do as well. So, you know, our intent is if it's hung up there probably, you know, you're looking at probably fair catching it around the goal line, you know, that type of thing. But it sort of remains to be seen to me. If you're kicking it to the five, what do? You know, so we're prepared to, you know, to return it.
How is Shane Grimm kind of, you know, hoping to hear this?
I think he has a presence here. He's got, you know, so much NFL experience and a special teams background that he gives them a sounding board. You know, he can't coach them on the field. He can just sort of more of a consultant in terms of what he's talking to them about. And, you know, and, he's like a psychological coach as well.
Do you guys pick his brain about what Frank Beamer did with their special teams?
Hit those lines, focus lines. Yeah, let's go, straight lines, details.
He gets involved in almost every aspect in terms of listening and watching, and he's growing as a special teams coach.
All right, again, Coach Mark D'Antonio, prior to today's 10 a.m. morning practice, and you also heard Aretha Franklin in the back, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, a 1967 classic. You mentioned players like Josh Butler, A.J. Troop, Shakur Brown, Kalen Gervin, also how they can go 3 to 4 deep at linebacker. Also, some surprise players, Tariq Thompson, junior linebacker, and Brandon Randall, sophomore linebacker, as standout so far. As we approach, again, August 31st, the first game for the Michigan State football season. As we have just, you know, like 40 seconds left here in the show. Ray from Indiana, sorry, my man. I'm not going to get to you. Call early tomorrow, Ray. We'll get you on the air, my man Ray from Indiana. Connor, we do have some breaking news that I want to pass along. What is that breaking news concerning the story out in Maryland?
All right, so Maryland has announced that at 2 p.m. press conference today with President Walls D. Lowe and A.D. Damon Evans.
So we'll possibly get an update when it comes to, you know, we will get an update when it comes to what is happening with head coach DJ Durkin and members of his coaching staff in relation to the death of the former player Jordan McNair. All right. Until then, folks, we'll see you tomorrow on a Wednesday version of Current Sports. Be easy, people.